The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
One of our listeners, in relation to Trump's tariffs, says, wait and see. Europe are going to throw Ireland under the bus when it comes to the tariffs, like they did during the financial crisis. So a dispiriting prognosis there from a Hard Shoulder listener. We are going to talk about European response, how all of this plays out in just a moment. But first, Katrina Redmond is with me, who's a consumer columnist with the Irish Examiner. Because Katrina, despite so many conversations being had on this show and elsewhere about economic models and how all of this plays out, I suspect most people tonight when they sit down at the dinner table are asking the same question. How is this going to affect me? What things are going to be more expensive because of this trade war? So let's assume for this purpose of this conversation, 25% tariffs across the board announced tonight and something similar imposed by Europe in the next few days and weeks. How does that trickle down to the consumer?
Difficult to figure out how much it is going to impact on our actual wallets, particularly because the tariffs, when they are applied, will apply mainly, like, it will impact on the Irish consumer mainly from a point of view of the likes of, say, aluminium, or they call them aluminium in the US. We're unlikely to feel the impact on our, say, our grocery shopping bill at the end of every week, because the vast majority of the products that we buy come from within Ireland or within the EU. But on the other hand, if there is an impact on the amount of products that are exported, maybe producers start going out of business and there's less of the products to go around, or there's more demand for products that don't come from US, then we may end up spending more. But it's very difficult to put an actual value on it, because at the moment, all of these policymakers and legislators are running around like headless chickens right now, waiting for this speech this evening, so that then they can go down the negotiations route and try and make it a little bit less on us.
So when you look at then the big US exports into the European Union, are they generally materials and ingredients that they're then used to make other things? I heard people talking about Levi's, as that maybe because it's the quintessential American product. It's mostly made in Bangladesh, the Levi's that we wear in this country. So actually, it falls outside the scope of EU-US tariffs. Are there any finished products? Are there many finished products that come to the EU that we purchase from the States?
Well, I think probably the most obvious one is wine. But I think that for anybody who drinks
Katrina,
California
wine, I think that tells me a lot about you
US.
Now that you said that's the most obvious one.
Would you believe I don't drink alcohol? But if we take a look at wine, you know, it is very obvious that an awful lot of wine is coming from the wine producing regions in the US. But what's going to happen is that if that becomes more expensive, consumers are going to move to buying wine from other regions, buying it from within the EU or perhaps from Australia or a little bit further afield, maybe even some Irish wine. So I don't necessarily think that, you know, we're going to see the impact in our shopping baskets immediately, but we will over time, because all of these producers do use these raw materials in terms of maybe repairing their production systems or building new factories, construction of new homes. All of these materials do come into it. So while we might not see it in the weeks or possibly short months ahead, in a couple of years' time, it will have a knock-on effect.
Okay, so it just pushes up that underlying inflation behind the kind of individual prices. That's really the kind of the long-term impact, is it?
Yeah, and I suppose, like, to give you an example, like the last time that Trump was in office, he set a tariff on imported washing machines to protect Irish or to protect American manufacturers from foreign mm-hmm. competition. So demand for the US manufactured washing machines increased, but there wasn't necessarily, you know, a net growth in terms of jobs in the US. But the price of washing machines had increased, washing machines purchased in the US had increased by 12% once they had been adjusted in terms of inflation. So you can see how, you know, this has a knock-on effect. But also there was, you know, and also a loss, for example, from the environment point of view, because washing machines, tumble dryers were a little bit more expensive, people were more prepared to hold on to what they had. So they were making use of less energy efficient machines. So, like, it really is an extremely complex calculation to make. And it's very difficult to say, you know, even down to washing machines, well, you might have to pay €50, €100 more in 6 months' time.
Aidan Regan is with us as well, who's professor in political economy in UCD's School of Politics and International Relations. Aidan, I asked Katrina to imagine for a moment that we got 25% tariffs across the board announced tonight, and that ultimately the EU did likewise. And that seems to be the perceived wisdom. The EU has to do something, whether it's across the board or it's slightly less forceful. There have to be reciprocal tariffs imposed on the states. Does there have to be?
Yeah, good question. Not necessarily. There's nothing that has to be anything in this case. Really, the EU could choose to be much more targeted, much more specific about what they want to do with tariffs. I mean, keep in mind, what are tariffs? They're basically taxes. They're taxes on imports, right? So if the EU opts to go for a kind of general tariff of 20-25% in retaliation to Trump's tariff, it's basically increasing prices, right? That's what it's going to do. Now, the honest answer is we don't know exactly how it's going to work out. Nobody knows. There's just too much uncertainty. And it's that uncertainty, I think, that's just, you know, most people are uncomfortable with. But the EU could choose to be much more specific. They could choose to target their tariffs on Tesla, on Trump's inner circle. They could choose. There's nothing stopping them to be much more specific about trying to hurt the multi-billionaires around him effectively and hurt their pockets and create their own sense of uncertainty, let's say, for how they would respond. But there's no rule book here, you know?
But Aidan, I mean, that the Brawligarchy, Trump's inner circle, most of them have an Irish presence. Their European presence is in Dublin. How keen would Simon Harris be for that approach?
Yeah, not keen at all, obviously. But, you know, little Ireland is probably not going to matter a huge amount here. Like, the EU has to be much more focused on what's in the Europeans' interest, right? And unfortunately, what is in the EU's best interest is not necessarily in Ireland's best interest, because Ireland's best interest is being much closer to the USA. So Ireland is true, is stuck here between Europe and the United States. And we talk a lot about closer to Berlin or Boston. I think this is perhaps the clearest case ever where Ireland is faced with a difficult trade-off about whether who they want to align closer with. And I think the obvious thing is they're going to have to work closer with the EU, and they're going to have to accept that if the EU is going to hurt the US, it's obviously going to hurt certain US companies in Ireland, given how structurally dependent we are on it. There's no way around that.
Yeah, I read a text out earlier from someone that said Europe's going to throw Ireland under the bus. And we spoke to Dennis Drennan from the ICMSA earlier. Now, we were talking about school meals, but he did express a concern that, you know, the Irish agri-food industry, for example, could be seen as collateral damage if it came down to a binary choice. And things are never that simple, but, you know, he just gave this as an example. If it came down to a binary choice between, you know, doing something to protect the automotive industry at the cost of Irish agri-food or Irish pharmaceutical exports, it won't take long for Ursula von der Leyen to make her decision on that front.
Yeah, I mean, Ireland doesn't have any friends. I mean, Ireland can't go to Brussels and say, hey, guess what? We run this huge trade surplus with the EU because of, or with the US because of US multinational profit shifting in the pharmaceutical sector, and that big corporate tax boom that we have is based on that profit shifting. Hey, please don't go near that, you know, in your trade wars. It's just not going to wash, obviously. So, I mean, if Ireland really wants to put any sector first or defend any economic interest, it really ought to be focused on domestic industry and not the international US sectors.
One listener says, any companies exporting to the US that are affected, just redirect it to sell in Ireland. Make things more affordable here. It's not that simple. I mean, there are not enough men in Ireland who need Viagra, to put it quite simply. I won't miss Hershey's chocolate from the good old USA, says somebody else. It tastes like regurgitated milk mixed with corn flour. I'm with you. US chocolate is a pox. David says, everyone needs to relax. The single market is the largest market in the world and the number one trader for 80 countries. If Trump wants to increase the price of medicines by 25% for Americans, let him off. There could be riots in the US. These companies aren't going to leave Europe because it's the largest single market on the planet. Everybody needs to relax. David, I don't think the suggestion is that they leave. And Aidan, you'd know more about this than I would. I think the issue is that about 50% of the medicines that those companies produce in this country, they do ship to the United States. They're already servicing the European market. So, you know, it's not that they're going to up sticks and leave. Rather, it's that there'll be a dramatic reduction in what they're producing here unless they find an alternative market beyond Europe. Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be confronted with an incentive, because if they have to pay more taxes to sell into the US market, well, then there's going to be an incentive to make sure that the type of pricing arrangements they have in their Irish-based subsidiaries are adjusted such that effectively less tax or less profit or less revenue or sales is booked in Ireland in order to avoid those taxes. So effectively what you see here is there's two dimensions to Ireland's export sector in pharma and medical products. Stuff is real, right? Stuff is actually produced here, or else it's tightly connected to their supply chains, the active ingredients, etc. If that stuff is more expensive, you know, I don't think these factories will disappear. I don't think these jobs will suddenly disappear. But incrementally, you might feel an effect over the next few months for years. But we don't know if these tariffs are permanent or short term. That's the first thing. The second thing, though, is on what I call the kind of accounting-based exports, that is basically the phantom exports, which are all about basically IP, cost-sharing, licensing arrangements to shift profit. That stuff is not really produced in Ireland. What's being sold as an export into Ireland never touches the shores of Ireland. It's basically legally owned in Ireland for the purpose of allocating the sales and profit here, but it's not actually produced here. That stuff can change quickly. And of course, there's issues around having to pay an exit tax if you move your intellectual property, etc. But I suspect it's on that front that Ireland is going to be most exposed. And on that front, Ireland is most exposed in terms of the drop in corporate tax revenue, as opposed to a shift in the production and jobs of the actual real companies that are here.
The IP wheeze may be coming to an end. Aidan, thanks a million. Aidan Regan is professor in political economy in UCD's School of Politics and International Relations. Katrina Redmond is a consumer columnist with the Irish Examiner.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.